So this is your bit for these, that they're all just not going to start in a good way. Just short, little, tiny, short and sweet. All right.
Hey, pals.
How are you going?
What's up? What's up? Welcome to her.
Short and sweet. What?
Oh, no. It's late in the evening.
It is. Today, tonight, at a nondescript time, we are talking about...
Oh, they can know we did it late at night, but what date? Oh, gosh.
Zimblemony third.
We're doing a short and sweet.
Throw on the power short and sweet. Yeah. Have we reached peak legacy sequel?
Legacy sequels prequels.
Legacy.
Legwools.
What are they called? Well, we made the joke off mic that you just want to see more sequels with Legolas in it. And that's what you thought a legacy sequel
Legolas
would be.
Sequels.
I've seen him in The Hobbit. I've seen Elizabethtown.
Who's the girl in this? Is it?
Was that Legolas?
Is it Kirsten Dunst?
So it was Legolas in?
Yeah, it's Kirsten Dunst.
And there's the scene. He's not Legolas in Elizabethtown. I don't think.
He's got brown hair. Uh-huh.
Legolas has gone to witness protection for some reason.
Because he's killed a million orcs.
That's
because
a good
he
point.
Did that film.
Suddenly they're just like, all right, war crime time, Legolas. Like,
mate, that Oliphant did deserve that.
Some of those orcs were sleeping.
Oh, my God. Well, while we're on the topic.
While we were sleeping.
The Lord of the Rings, legacy, sequels, prequels. I am not a big fan of The Hobbit.
Hobbit's
trilogy.
Terrible. This shocking. Worst
one
adaption.
Second. I know this is not my thing normally, but should we just, for people who aren't sure, thanks for listening.
What's a legacy?
What's a legacy?
What's a
legacy sequel? What does that mean? What defines a legacy sequel for you guys?
Usually a long distance between the original and the sequel.
Sure.
Or something in the same intellectual property that's they're trying to, you feel like they're trying to milk it.
Yes. Yeah. Or a series that tends to get revitalized. You wouldn't call
NCIS?
The next James Bond film a legacy sequel, I would say.
Correct.
Because it's like that's just a consistent series, right? NCIS, I don't know if you know this, television show. So probably.
And a consistent series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's lots of remakes and reboots.
On TV. So we'll be moving on from that.
One example I'll give you is the Matrix 4 that they did in the last, when did they do it?
Yeah, Resurrections was 2020, maybe 2021.
That's the best Matrix, I think.
Oh, Frank.
That's because you're in it, Frank.
As Keanu Reeves?
Jonathan Groff.
Oh, my God.
I'm not Jonathan Groff.
Okay. Well, he's a Jonathan Groff today.
Get Jonathan Gronn. Okay, we've done this.
We would talk about the Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny being a long... standing sort of reboot sequel, whatever.
Well, that was a weird sequel that they're then trying to revitalize the franchise with Shia LaBeouf as the new Indy.
It's whipping the dead horse sort of thing, I find, with a lot of these IPs.
They shouldn't have done that in that movie.
No.
Indy's horse died.
Shia LaBeouf just brought that dead horse with him to set, as you can imagine. Right?
Yeah, his method.
Yes.
Now these legacy,
kills a horse every movie he's in.
Legacy sequels and prequels can be problematic, and then sometimes, very rarely, they can be paid off.
Like well, one we've spoken about on pod is Top Gun Maverick, which is better than the original.
I agree.
And is a huge example of, like, it doesn't seem likely for this to work. And the fact that it does bespeaks, like, this era we're in where people are, whether because they are nostalgic for the old one or they just recognize the brand appeal of it, they're like, yeah, we'll show up for this. So that movie... I think really if you asked someone a year before that properly came out, most people would have been like, that's a joke, right? Like, that's not going to...
We don't need
Top
this.
Gun again? Yeah. Like,
Tom Cruise is
shit.
Too old for that.
Is the volleyball going to reprise its role? Like, what's going on?
And we were all lucky.
I'm glad they did the American football
scene.
It did.
That was
kind
it.
Of. Sorry. It was its cousin.
Yeah. It's
so many bronzed, oiled up abs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie shouldn't have worked, I agree. And then...
And it does.
And I don't know if it was the first of... maybe many that have started to sort of roll out. One example I can give is the Predator reboot that they've done with Prey.
Yeah.
Right? Very, very good.
Is it?
Very.
Prey's a good movie. Predator's an interesting one, as is Alien, because you're like, how long does the gap have to be between sequels before you go, this is a legacy sequel, this is a series that was sort of dormant.
Well,
and I would argue Predator kind of fits that and Alien until Romulus kind of fit that because...
Do we count reboots?
But then you've got Alien versus Predator. I feel like they haven't been out of the zeitgeist ever.
I maybe for their meme potential, but not as like a viable film, right? Whereas Alien, the reason that there's Alien or Prometheus and then Covenant... And it was meant to be a trilogy. Is Covenant just didn't do well enough, and they scrapped it. And
Prometheus
so Alien Romulus, you don't like Prometheus?
Oh God,
I like
no.
Prometheus. I think Covenant is pretty stupid. Like that movie is very that the movie doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't work.
True.
But yes, Romulus is an example from last year of like this is kind of a rejiggering of the franchise.
Jiggering,
yes.
See,
Give it a little jigger.
To me, it's sort of a blurred line because this is a reboot. This is a reboot while still being...
Marcus just gave us that look
a
of...
A sequel prequel. It's like, on get on with track. It. Yeah.
Yes. I love those
and that's,
eyes.
That's what you say about Alien. Is like.
I think so. I think that this Romulus sort of blurs the lines of the two. I think that it is clearly very much rebooting the franchise that we know and love.
Yeah.
And doing it well while still being in the same universe and connecting all the dots. So reboot's kind of a weird term now because it's like what defines a reboot?
Yeah. Right? And then you've got Evil Dead, which you and I watched the other day.
That's
the 2013
right.
yeah. Fede Alvarez, which he seems to be the guy to go to for this stuff.
Mm.
And it's like that is just a straight – well, no, it's not a straight remake because it's so different and it kind of incorporates so much of the Evil Dead stuff.
Yeah.
But it isn't a sequel in the general terms, but there's a legacy aspect to it, right?
Yes, yes.
I think the year, which tends to be the conventional wisdom online, that legacy sequels came to define what era we're in now and the 10 years later of it, is 2015. In 2015, you've got Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, yes.
Massive film, even though commercially it was all right. It made like $300 million, but like it was a very culturally dominant film.
Yeah.
Won a lot of Oscars. Creed comes out that year as well.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that doesn't...
Hold me now!
Had to do it. Sorry, continue.
A movie that doesn't make that much money, but it does still have a big impact. Gets a nomination for Sylvester Stallone for actor, right? Or supporting actor. So a lot of stuff there.
Have you seen the Creed films?
No.
And I've seen that monologue he does.
I love Rocky. I'm a huge Rocky fan.
Yeah.
Don't love the
Creed.
I've heard Michael B. Jordan is good in that movie, in Creed.
Apparently like, he's great. And then he directs Creed 2, right?
Maybe or Creed 2 three? And 3 or maybe just 3.
Like, it's been very good for him.
Yeah.
For me to say that it's self-gratuitous is a bit strange because Rocky
Look at
is
you.
To Stallone and ouch.
Good.
Thank you.
But that's the feeling I got from Creed. Sure. I was like, ugh, this is very much, him trying to, Michael B. Jordan, trying to really give himself that legacy almost in a weird way or like, piggyback off of Stallone and be the new Stallone.
Yeah. And I think it's the way they frame it as an event that defines it as a legacy thing as well, where you see Creed coming out and they're like, this is the new generation of Rocky. This is the new modern version of this. That fits with Creed, that fits with Mad Max Fury Road, but it very much fits with Jurassic World, which came out in 2015. Complete rebooting of that series.
It's in my bad list.
Completely, like, just taking that movie made just all the money, which is insane. Sometimes I forget.
Yeah, but no one knew going in how bad it was going to be and how bad that
was.
The $1.6 billion that got, funneled into that movie did not all happen in one day, right?
No.
People saw that and went, other people should see that.
We were still in the moment of Chris Pratt. We like him. He's such a funny,
just
leading
come off
charismatic
Guardians of the Galaxy come off Parks and Rec. So it's just
we still liked him.
We were into him.
We're over him now.
The other movie that came out in 2015, of course, is The Force Awakens. Do you remember the second Human Centipede?
Okay, well, if you had been a little bit faster on that, like, I'll think of a joke soon. Come on,
bit.
Tom. Yes, Star Wars.
I love the
good
comedy school here from the two of them. It's
some
great.
Good yes ending.
Yeah. Circle book storytelling.
In my
Human Centipede.
Oh, yes,
circle
it is. No.
I've split this conversation into a two-parter. I've got good and bad because I know we're not trying to focus on the negative, but I think that there's good examples of where this worked and bad.
I think more commonly it's bad, though, right?
I think so. Statistically, yes.
That's why we're at the point of, we all went and watched Gladiator 2 recently.
We did.
And I think we all have mixed feelings about it.
Well, we're not going to do an episode on it, so there's that.
I mean, do you want to say it now? I think it was stupid.
I want to watch it again purely because of what Christopher Nolan said. But it's
Which is don't sit next to Tom while watching this movie.
Yeah. But it was like, this is purely entertainment. Ridley Scott is a master entertainer and I think there's so much, again, with the legacy of it, there's so much about Gladiator 1 that is so solid, strong, emotional, powerful. Gladiator 2 is not that. Gladiator 2 is like the theme park ride version of this movie.
100%.
Christopher Nolan is hedging his bets. He's seeing Ridley Scott in his late 80s still making movies, and he's like, I want people to let me do that in my 80s.
Yeah, someone so be nice
gonna,
to me.
So I'm going to say this movie's good.
Yeah.
So when I get to that age,
it's a self-endorsement.
I truly think for someone to say this movie is pure entertainment, I'm like, what the fuck were you
He
watching?
Did also mention the sharks in the Colosseum. He's like, that's why there's sharks in the Colosseum, because that's what the audience wants to see. I was like,
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that stuff's fine. I mean, I would have preferred more of that than less of people standing around tables and going like, yes, the politics of Rome. And I'm like, the fucking what? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Show me more of the Roman twinks who should be ruling this place. And then
the syphilitic twinks.
We should the syphilitic twinks.
Now, back on what you were saying before, Tom, about Star Wars, for example. So The Force Awakens and that trilogy, this is where it starts to come undone. It doesn't work. I would argue that Rogue One as a spin-off film, to me, is actually very good.
This is where the problem lies, is because they're not all bad. No. And Star Wars has gone, oh, well, we've made three in the trilogy plus Rogue One, and Rogue One was great, and and we're getting money from all those ones.
Yeah.
So they continue, and they keep going because there's hope.
That's it.
Get it? Star Wars reference.
But it shows how tangential these can become. When you're like, a legacy sequel isn't even necessarily part of the main trilogy that's being revamped. Yep. This is an adjacent movie
but this is where
to those three main films.
We're losing original thought and original writing, and I don't think a lot of original work is coming through at the moment. I think, as Frank said earlier, these established IPs, we've got producers and studios just milking this shit.
Because what are people going to see?
Again, exactly.
Yeah.
Because they're scared to take a swing, and at the moment, every IP that they're revitalizing, how many would you say, like, maybe 1 in 8 are actually genuinely okay or working?
10%, yeah.
Yeah, it's not roughly. Good. It's pretty unhealthy.
But that's the whole Sony dilemma with they have the Spider-Man rights. They're making these Spider-Man adjacent movies, Madam Web, Morbius, Kraven the Hunter. Hmm.
Oh, how did that go?
I think fantastic.
I'm still going to watch Kraven because I have a weird feeling that's probably the best of the three. But
are you aware that Aaron Taylor-Johnson has left Earth?
Yeah, but
that movie came out and he was like, no, I'm done.
But
this
also,
planet's fine.
I'm done, yeah.
I don't need to stay here on this planet, all right?
Let me do a split jump.
We are letting audiences and fanboys and Rotten Tomatoes and everything really dictate what's successful now and what isn't.
Yeah.
Which is some films are getting bombed before they've even hit cinemas.
And they're all going through reshoots, like the new Captain America, where Anthony Mackie is now Captain America. Yeah. That's been in reshoots because the first test screening was woeful.
Yeah, and Anthony Mackie's in it.
And Harrison Ford is playing Anger from Inside Out, from the looks of it.
Yeah.
He's playing Red Hulk.
Essentially, that's what's going on there.
But Harrison Ford is not acting because he's just mad to be there.
Yeah.
But it is so... They're just going, well, it has to be a Marvel movie. It has to be a legacy thing, so we'll just pump money into it until it's good.
Mm.
And it's never... Same with Kraven. They had to do a bunch of reshoots and add a whole extra storyline because there was nothing in it. And it's like... Spend some time with good writers and you can still use IP, but like have some respect for the work you're doing, please. Yeah. That's what it feels like. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Do you see a distinction between just the continuing Marvel engine and legacy sequels though?
Because that's my
thing where I'm just like, not even in just like quality, but I'm like, I don't even know if I'd necessarily say they qualify. Like Blade Runner to me is a classic example from last year, Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Like that is a 37-year or 36-year gap between the original and the sequel. Like that's something that would have been – they stopped trying to make another Beetlejuice movie in like the late 90s.
Short
answer, like, well, it's never going to happen.
Short answer here, but I haven't seen it yet. Is it good or not?
No.
Oh, there you go. But you've both seen it?
No, I just have read it. I'm not going to waste my time.
I don't think Frank's
seen it.
I've seen it. I don't think Frank's seen a movie in years, if I'm being honest. But I
saw a movie today.
That was...
Ass?
You saw Ass today? You would have PP. Speaking of IP.
Yeah, IP. I just want to quickly talk about also... Sorry, but then Michael Keaton coming back as Batman in The Flash, which we've spoken about. It's like...
Now it's legacy performances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Purely just throw Michael Keaton in. The audience will love to see that because this movie's bad and we need...
Yeah, this is the whole multiverse thing.
It's just a security blanket and that's, again, going back to Spider-Man, is the No Way Home one with Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Like you watch that again, you go, oh, okay.
Producers but the and first studios time you see discovering it. The multiverse was the worst thing that could have ever happened because it was an excuse for them to go, now we can pull anyone we want into any film we want.
Yep.
There's no rules.
And everyone's going to love it forever. And there's no threshold or high watermark for this.
It's deeply upsetting.
It's the thing I said during the Deadpool Wolverine episode, which was like so much of the things they've been doing for Marvel specifically, you can only do once. And then once you do it, you have to be like, well, how, we can't fix this. We've let it, we've opened the fucking box. It's all gone. Like, you know.
But so, they can do a reset.
Yes, but then it'll stop mattering. Because if the stakes are, oh, we could just reset it. As much as comic book fans love that because there are so many different versions of it, there are so many different ways that you can play out a graphic novel story, I think a lot of people would tell you maybe there's a part of them that's like, yeah, the day I realized they could do that, it sort of stopped mattering as much. Because what does it fucking matter?
People prefer canon, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were talking about this when we were watching that Pirates of the Caribbean.
Don't.
Just you said during the battle
scene, people... if this is a canon joke...
No, let him finish.
It's a canon joke. Is it a canon joke?
Because you love Gore Verbinski, right?
Is it and a canon joke?
It's just they were like fighting with the other ships and they needed to use a weapon. And you turned to me and you said, I love canon.
Yeah.
And I said, I love canon too.
How do we both turn our back to him in this?
Who else has a legacy sequel?
Did you guys bring a tumbleweed?
Let me read. I'll read.
The Thing?
Real quick.
Okay.
Oh, The Thing. Great. Mm. I've got Prey, Fury Road, and Furiosa. I've got Evil Dead Rise, amazing.
Mm.
Alien Romulus, Rogue One. I even wrote Rob Zombie's Halloween. I think that is an amazing reboot or legacy prequel.
Yeah.
You need to watch it. It's incredible.
And the timelines on those movies are crazy.
Crazy.
They don't
I'm not
really...
big on the Halloween series, but that is very well done.
Mm.
Then I've got The Hobbit, which I disliked.
Yeah.
You're Indiana the only Jones, one. Kingdom and Dial of Destiny,
yeah.
Matrix 4, the Ghostbusters, the two they've
Ghostbusters is a great example of a like long dormant franchise that everyone was like, we're going to leave that alone, right? And they're like, fuck no.
No.
You know? Clear!
Yeah, seriously.
Wait, go back.
Bad
what
Boys.
Did you, what did you just say before that?
Ooh.
Before Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
What do you got there? Matrix 4.
Before that.
Oh, Indiana Jones, Kingdom.
Yeah, didn't everyone think that Dial of Destiny was going to be good? They're like, we've got Phoebe Waller-Bridge in.
It's James Mangold directing.
Right?
He's just been nominated for an Oscar.
Incredible talent.
Yeah. I would argue it's better than Kingdom.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Far better.
Sure.
But it didn't need to happen. I just don't think it needed to happen.
No, I agree. But that's the problem. It's like there's so much hype and they get good people and it just, even still.
And then, of course, we bring into the conversation the use of now CGI and de-aging technology that we have. So now we can... bring back Carrie Fisher. Now we can have Indiana Jones as young Indy in his own film.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Gets weird.
I'm not behind it.
Gets
I
weird.
I don't love it.
There'll always be things in place, I hope, and people willing to sort of step in and go, we're not casting James Dean in a movie in 2025, right? Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be
but
using
someone
this
might.
But someone might make a movie like The Flash and make Nicolas Cage into Superman. So, fuck knows. Who knows?
Yeah, but he did a costume test.
Yes. And people went to jail over that. Like, people are actually serving time over that
disgusting.
Movie. I would like to just add one more, just because this movie's on my mind, because I'm going to go see it soon in IMAX and I've never seen it before.
IMAX!
It is a movie that came out in 2010 and some people think may have triggered the start of the legacy sequel revolution in the last 15 years, and it's Tron Legacy, which is an interesting one, right? That's a good movie. That's got to be... Yeah. I've never seen it. I've never seen either.
But it's actually okay.
It's got to be one of the first movies made in the 21st century that was a long-distant 80s sequel.
I think you're right.
I think it really is one of those big sort of... Does this work? And while that movie I don't think was hugely successful, it was okay. Mm. Like, you know, people liked it. People went and
I
saw
think
it.
You
Wait,
look on the
And Joseph Kaczynski directed that.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And that's because what's he directing coming up? He did Top Gun Maverick.
He did Top Gun Maverick, but he's also directing something coming out this year, which is F1? Is he doing F1?
F1, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy,
Kaczynski. F1, I've heard of this.
It's Formula One racing, Grand Prix.
Who's in
really
it?
Fast cars.
Who's in it?
Lewis Hamilton. Hamilton? Not throwing away my race.
Okay, don't answer the question.
Continue it's Brad Pitt in it.
Thank you. Fucking hell.
Oh, come on. We can have a bit of fun.
That's all I heard.
Human centipede.
See, he's ready with that human centipede now. He doesn't want to be caught up without having it ready.
Dare to watch it.
But that's it. I mean, I think what we've just had is an interesting conversation.
Can we took one more? Sorry, one Please more. Do. That is obviously.
Can we took
the adjacent?
Yeah, we took it.
We took bird.
Go.
Waltzing with Brando.
Talk to me,
Billy Zane. Playing Marlon Brando. It's
is
like
this a legacy? Hang
well,
on.
Well, here's what I want to say about it. It's like it's the next step, right? Marlon Brando in The Godfather. That was the most amazing thing we've seen on screen. Let's make a film about Marlon Brando's legacy and creation.
Yeah. Movies and TV shows about the creation of the things that we love. Like The Offer that everyone was into, where everyone thought it was a really good show. We all liked it. We all enjoyed it.
We like it because we love the story.
Yeah.
There's something... I'd prefer that than The Force Awakens.
Well, yeah.
Because it's a different story, right?
We've got to remember when The Force Awakens came out, that was heralded as a return to form for Star Wars. People didn't go, boo. Yeah,
but it was a very
quick
slump.
That was
a
$2 billion movie. Like, that movie's
insane. It costs a lot to make.
I mean, it
didn't make a lot. But
I'm in the minority that really didn't enjoy it.
I think that movie's okay.
Daisy Ridley is
fantastic. Depending on what room you're in, I'm in the minority that thinks The Last Jedi is a good movie. Like, I like that movie. I think that's legitimately good.
The last scene where Mark Hamill does the projection and then he disappears and then Adam Driver sooks. Fantastic. Adam
Driver sooks in those three films?
Oh my God. Adam Driver.
Maybe that's why I don't like Adam Driver.
Yeah,
like,
Driver is so good in those movies.
He's awful.
Well, he plays sulky, sullen, gothic teenager.
That's just his face. But yes, it's true.
I hate him in that.
It's like a little catfish.
It's my least favorite Adam Driver. I love him.
Anyway, I'm very excited to see Walton with Brando because I think it's an interesting... I want to learn about it. I want to know about it.
Pool.
So I'd almost prefer a documentary.
Arguing that these don't have to be legacy sequels for us to still be kind of taking...
I'm just talking conversationally.
...the legacy of something that we are then reappropriating.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I did write down Bad Boys as well because I think that they're just whipping that to death. Apparently the last one's the one that's coming out.
Yeah, it really slaps.
Apparently. I don't know. I don't...
Slaps is in.
No. That was actually good. I'm sorry.
What about the new Jurassic World with Jonathan Bailey, Scarlett Johansson?
Jurassic World Dominion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is that the old one? I can't remember.
I think that's the old. I think it's just called.
It's Rebirth.
Oh,
I don't know. It's something weird. Anyway, I don't really care. I've lost.
But again, it's like good. A good cast. I guess that doesn't matter, does it? Because studios just pay you a lot of money. You're going to be like...
ScarJo's in it?
Yeah.
Do you know what
they're talking about bringing back? They're talking about bringing back The Mummy and Brendan Fraser. Like, it's an actual conversation.
They better get him a wig.
Well, I just hope they don't do it. But number three wasn't great.
No. Shocking.
Four,
terrible.
This is the problem, though.
I know.
They go, number three didn't work. Why not? Well, it wasn't us. Let's do another one.
Does the human centipede run these studios?
But they're going to go for
they
a
can run three
because
studios.
They think that, oh, we stuffed it up here. We'll tweak
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we can
work.
Fix it. Yeah, no, we'll go back to the original formula. Yeah,
that
I know.
Was immediately worse.
I would watch The Mummy, though. This is the problem. I would watch that.
Do you know how we've had a problem in the past where we do a film and we mention an actor a lot and either right as the episode comes out or it's about to, that actor dies?
No,
I have something even worse. Aww. This episode's going to come out and they're going to announce a Human Centipede reboot. Like, truly, we're going to have had this whole conversation about legacy sequels.
Not where I thought
someone's
going
to hear this and be like, you know what? You know what's been dormant just
we could add a fourth person.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there's only three in
that. That's the human all centipede, I have to say about
that. Already
in one of the later sequels, there are like dozens of people in the human centipede. Like,
stop talking about it.
Well, it's our next episode, so I'm just going to save it for that.
No.
Okay.
I think that's the end of that conversation, truly.
I think we're done.
That was a fun chat. I appreciate you guys. Yeah.
I'm against them. I think stop.
Sometimes they're good. Alien Romulus was good.
I think more writers need to get their work made.
Blade Runner 2049 was good. It can be good. It can be good.
Be smart about it. Make good movies. They can be legacy sequels if they're good.
Give it to directors who have a good command of tone and their
and
material.
And a care for what they're dealing with.
100%. Sensible.
That's us.
Fuck you, Frank.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening to Throw the Power. My name is Frank.
I'm ashamed of you, Thomas.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
It just felt like we were getting along too much.
It was
right.
So send us an Instagram, throwing the power at Instagram and throwingthepower@gmail.com. Tell us your favorite centipede.
Throwing the power.
What?